This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Larry Johnson, a former CIA officer and a former deputy director of the State Department's Office of Counterterrorism. We want to get his insights as more and more reports suggest there is a swap of spies about to take place between the United States and Russia. How often does something like this happen, and what would be the reason for this type of exchange? And Larry, it's always great to have you with us.
Hi there.
Well, given your experience with the CIA and your expertise on terrorism, whether it was in the Cold War or since that time, how common or uncommon of an event would this be?
Well, this is relatively uncommon. I mean, it was not terribly common during the Cold War. The key is it usually surrounds, as in this case, when you get a spy ring or a spy caught or discovered. In this case, what was going on from the Russian side is they had pretty sloppy tradecraft, and the FBI has always been pretty good at doing counterintelligence investigations and uncovering these kinds of rings. So it didn't put you in an interesting negotiating position. And in this case, you know, as is apparently coming out in the news, there are people in Russian jails who were working in some form or fashion either for the United States or for Great Britain, and were going to apparently work out an exchange so that the Russians would get back people that were working for the Russian government, and we'll get back people that were working for us.
Larry, will these people largely go back in some form or fashion to what they were doing, or is this mainly a goodwill gesture with the understanding that these people aren't going to be engaging in espionage anymore?
Well, the problem is that once you're exposed or outed in this way, your operational usefulness is basically over. And so these people will, you know, have to go find other things to do. You know, some of the I've got some friends that were I trained with who they were not even picked up. But one of there was a U.S. CIA officer that went over to the Russians several years ago, and when he did, he actually exposed a variety of non-official cover officers, people who were working under a commercial cover, and my friend ended up having to spend the rest of his career in working in headquarters, not doing what he wanted to do.
Larry, what does this say about the current state of relations, you think, between the U.S. and Russia, that this, obviously, there's still intelligence work going on, but that it perhaps is at this scale?
I think we need to sort of grow up and recognize that any government worth its salt is going to be out trying, should be out trying to collect intelligence about the policies, plans, and intentions of other governments. And it's entirely natural for the United States to want to get such information about Russia and vice versa. So, this is getting shocked at the Russians trying to spy on us is like being shocked at gambling in Las Vegas. I mean, please.
Larry, according to some of the reports here, it looks like the exchange might be a bit lopsided. You seem to suggest that there might be some more folks who had been spying for our country who would be released. A lot of the reports suggest it's about a 10-to-1 swap here. What does that suggest if there's not a real equal number involved?
It could mean one of two things. Either we're really good with our tradecraft and not having too many people get caught, or we don't have a lot of activity going on. It's not like that the people who are in Russian custody have had a high profile here in the United States. And usually that's deliberate. I mean, it does not help that person if the U.S. government starts putting a high value on their release, because that ends up sending a message that, in fact, they were probably involved with something that the United States valued. It's like playing poker. Sometimes it's better to hide your cards and pretend that it's not all that important or useful to you, when in fact it may be.
Well, Larry, one of the things, of course, we heard in the wake of 9/11 was that our intelligence efforts in that part of the world, the Middle East, weren't up to where they should be. Obviously, given the length and breadth of the Cold War, we had plenty of intelligence experience there. So is the downgrade that a lot of people have worried about across the board, or is this still an area where we're pretty darn good?
No, it's been downgraded, and I think we've lost capability there, candidly. If nothing else, it serves as a reminder that while we think that the Cold War is over, and it is, that it's still there's still activity out there and intelligence challenges that we have to be prepared for. The Cold War ended, but the intelligence operations did not.
What's the key to building that back up?
Part of it is just making it a priority. The entire intelligence community operates on what are called collection plans. When you put those plans in place, they say the kind of information you want and what you're looking for. From an intelligence manager standpoint, that tells you where you need to, you know, how many spies you need to put out in the field, and how many people you can assign to work on a particular target. So it really is, there is, you know, government like the intelligence agencies, like the rest of government, are faced with some budgetary constraints. You don't have unlimited money, unlimited resources, so you always have to use those in a controlled and reasoned fashion.
Last question, Larry. I know that from previous discussions, you were concerned about the extra layer of bureaucracy with the Director of National Intelligence being placed as kind of the clearinghouse for all the different intelligence agencies in the government. Now he directly reports to the president. Do you believe that that's gotten any better, or do your major concerns there still persist?
No, it's just all it is I call it white man's welfare. It's a jobs program for middle class people. The last thing we need is really the DNI. It does not do effective coordination. And even the entire premise of the question's off, because there are not 14 intelligence agencies. There are only really three intelligence agencies that go out and put human sources in the field and collect raw intelligence. Not 14. That's three. That's a different effort. You got 14 that will do some sort of analysis, but again, harnessing that doesn't require creating this massive bureaucracy that it has. So it's a waste of government money, in my view.
Larry, fascinating in terms of this latest story related to Russia, as well as the state of our intelligence community. Thank you very much, as always, for being with us.
Okay, Greg, my pleasure.
Larry Johnson, former CIA officer, former deputy director of the State Department's Office of Counterterrorism. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.